The federal government has been spending money to build a skilled cybersecurity workforce since the 1990s. But a new study by the National Academy of Public Administration says it's time to refocus those efforts. Among their recommendations, more hands-on education for cybersecurity students, more tracking of the outcomes of the hundreds of federally funded courses, and more support for cybersecurity education by the Defense Department. I spoke to two members of the study panel, Dave Wennergren of the Professional Services Council and Karen Evans, the director of the U.S. Cyber Challenge. Evans says the U.S. needs to make the most of its cyber education investments, given the big gap between the supply and demand for skilled workers.
As the national director for the U.S. Cyber Challenge, we've been studying this issue and actually testing out and researching different ways to actually solidify data around what are the shortages and what skill gaps, what critical areas based on what everybody, and when I say everybody, I'm adding private sector and public sector critical infrastructure together about what they say that they need. And it's a blend of a workforce going forward. A lot of people think they need the high-end technical skills, and sure they do, but there's a whole series of skills and education that's needed that I would call at the foundational level that the U.S. Cyber Challenge has been working on and trying to grow the aperture of people so that they would then start down this path toward a cybersecurity profession, toward cybersecurity education. And as you start down that path, that's where it gets really confusing. Where do I go to school, or what are the resources, or what are the jobs, or how do I map my interest to a actual job progression type field so that I know how to pursue education and those types of things. And so it gets very confusing for what I'm going to say and use generic terms, the student. So there are several programs that are existing within the federal government, such as the Scholarship for Service, which was set up so that people would get their education and then do jobs within the federal government in order to fulfill their requirement. And that also would build out capacity. And DOD also had a program in place. And then there's this whole other effort, which is called the Center of Academic Excellence, that feeds into those programs. So you can see where it gets very confusing as to how do I traverse through this to find the resources that they need so I end up on the other side with the right education and skills into a job that helps reduce the risk. That's what the basis of the study was like. How do we bring some clarity around what's happening with the Centers of Academic Excellence, what's happening with the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education that's run by NIST, and the effort that DHS and DOD are doing together as it relates to education, mapping out what kind of skills, what kind of education, how you improve the curriculum, and what is the right way or what is a better way, leveraging off of things that the government's already doing.
And so, Dave, given that those sets of needs that Karen just laid out, talk a bit more, if you could, about what you were trying to address in this report and what conclusions you came to.
Absolutely. So the National Academy of Public Administration launched a study panel, and the report is available today on the NAPA website. They did it in partnership with the Center for Internet Security in Deloitte, and it was a great study team. I got to work with Karen and Frank Reeder, Shelley Metzenbaum, Ramon Barkeen, Alan Shark, and, of course, the great staff at NAPA. And the idea was to come up with a set of recommendations about how do you build on the successes of these efforts, the NSA DHS Centers for Academic Excellence Program and the National Science Foundation's Scholarship for Service Program. There have been great successes, but there's also much more that needs to be done to continue to raise the bar in security. And so, in general, the recommendations looked at this set of areas. This need for hands-on scenario-based education, that it's great to have classroom components, but you need to be able to practice what you're learning so you build confidence in being able to do the job once you leave the program. So hands-on education, hugely important for these academic institutions. A focus on outcomes. How do you measure for success? How do you help students pick the right curriculum to meet the job requirement that they'd like to go after? And how do you make sure that those students will then succeed? So how can you measure the student's ability to get employment post-graduation? How can you measure the institutions? You know, we got the right person for the job and they were able to be successful, so that you can provide feedback back to the academic institutions so we can do continuous improvement. Set of recommendations around the Scholarship for Service program. It has the ability to be broadened for more public service participation. Think state, local government, and nonprofits. It would be a great way to expand the aperture on people getting good cybersecurity educations. For the DOD, NSA, DHS program, the CAE program, we reemphasized the importance of that program, but we noted that the DOD used to do an information assurance scholarship program, which was great, and like the SFS program, provided scholarships to DOD employees to go pursue cybersecurity education and also to provide capacity building grants to educational institutions, which is also really important to help raise the bar continually. And the IA scholarship program at DOD hasn't been funded for the last few years. And so we recommend reemphasizing that. And as Karen pointed out, the NICE framework, you know, aligning ourselves to standards for, so we have common vernacular and approach and taxonomy about how we do this stuff so that you can choose wisely the school and the program you want to be a part of, were all crucial recommendations of the report.
On the Center for Academic Excellence program specifically, the phrase that you guys use in the report is that the certifications you get from that lack prestige. No one quite knows what those certifications mean. There are plenty of extremely skilled cyber experts out in the field who don't have those certifications. And on the other hand, the people who are responsible for hiring cyber experts may not really even be impressed by the current certifications because there's no clear definition of what they mean. Have I got that about right?
Well, so the Center of Academic Excellence, that certification is for the institution, for the school. So what was intended is that they're meeting a certain set of requirements that were issued jointly now by NSA and DHS. And so the idea was that you submit what you're doing in your curriculum and it meets the requirements that the government is saying that they need for an education purpose. So that certification was to really say, okay, if you go to that school, then when you participate in that program, you should then be able to be hired then within DOD. It should meet DOD's requirements for a cybersecurity professional within the DOD. That's the intent of that program. That certification, though, right now isn't translating through and part like with increased student enrollment. Or on the other side, industry doesn't, like when a person comes out of that and they say, oh, I went to a Center of Academic Excellence as certified by DHS and NSA, that doesn't have any meaning because industry doesn't really know how to translate what does that mean and how does that help me, you know, fill a gap within my workforce. And the curriculum that it looks like you studied doesn't really address what is actually happening right now within the cybersecurity environment. So this is trying to bring clarity to that and say that certification of the school should have meaning and that when people graduate from that program, that they then are, they can be deployed within an organization of DOD. So that's why it talks critically about having that hands-on component, and then they're evolving what they call the knowledge units to address some of the changing landscape of what's happening within cyber so that their education and the curriculum and the coursework that they're offering will actually be applicable to the current environment that they would go out and work in.
See, I think your question is spot on because, you know, you could create a virtuous circle here, which is what the report is advocating for, that you ought to be able to describe the curriculum, describe if you want to be this kind of person, you would do these kinds of things, to be able to measure results and turn this more into a kind of thing where the educational institution, you know, gets credit for delivering qualified candidates and the students, you know, benefit from the program. And so then you begin to actually have more cachet around the idea that you went to a certain institution because you were able to get certain skills that landed you a certain job that delivered results.
On funding, Dave mentioned that DOD used to do an IA scholarship for service program, but it hasn't been funded for a couple of years. More broadly, in the programs that you looked at, how are we doing with funding overall? Adequate or not enough?
Well, so this was an initial study to actually then go down and look a little bit more. So we did an initial study to really take a look at what's the curriculum, what's the school, bring some clarification. And then how do you focus the resources? Because there is a big investment that Congress has given to NSF for scholarship for service, or to DHS where they're running an education program. So, I'll talk from my former OMB days. The idea was to consolidate the funding. Let's take, for example, the program that we're recommending reinstating the funding. The idea was, well, if DHS is rolling it out, they have the funding, they make a grant out to the institutions, and NSF will make grants out to the institutions, DOD would follow, and they didn't need to make them anymore, that they would send their employees to these schools that would be certified as CAEs, and that their employees could get scholarships, you know, through the institutions the way that the money was moving. We're suggesting, and I think the panel, rightly so, is saying bring clarity back to this, because there were original intentions for both of these programs. And let's fulfill those original intentions while keeping in mind the national initiative, the national imperative, have that aligned so that public sector, and I'm talking about all the way down to state and local, that public sector employees, that you can come in, get this education, and then go do your service out in the public sector. And then DOD could then also educate their workforce along this. And that's why that reinstatement of the funds. I mean, the idea before was consolidate it and have everybody move out this way. Now, I think that the panel really brought a lot of expertise and clarity and said, let's get these programs that are good programs working the way that they're intended so that we can figure out how to leverage them and grow them into bigger programs. And then that way they could pivot whichever way the nation needed them to pivot.
And how did those original intentions get either sidetracked or diluted? Is it just because the program grew so quickly? I mean, I think there's almost 200 institutions now that are centers of academic excellence.
Well, I would say so. I will take some blame as the former administrator on this, is that the idea was we need a national program. So as the Bush administration was going out, as you know, we did the Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative. We also had a piece that was dealing with education, and we realized it was a broader issue that the next administration would have to deal with, but that there were these components that were working well, which is the Center of Academic Excellence and the scholarship for service and those components. And the waters got a little muddied on the way out, saying that, you know, as position papers were written, as recommendations were made, that these could grow into national programs. So I think what ended up happening was they leapfrogged into national programs without necessarily completing the work that was the original intent of the program, which was for the federal workforce, the public sector, and for the DOD workforce.
You know, you can't be all things to all people, and there's huge sets of space, like the CAE program, training the federal workforce, you know, what a huge prize, and the Scholarship for Service program, bringing in a new workforce and expanding beyond federal, state, and local, are all huge opportunities. Over recent years, as you've watched, you know, continuing financial uncertainty, not surprisingly, you know, education training programs often suffer when times are tough financially, which is really unfortunately short-sighted, because if you're not grooming the workforce for the future, right, then heaven help you. And so, you know, we know money is tough, but we do think that we ought to keep a focus on attracting and retaining the workforce of the future, and that will require helping to make sure the right skill sets are here.
Let me finish by asking about the fourth of your four recommendations, which is emphasize to the Department of Defense senior leadership, including the secretary, the importance of the CAE program for growing the federal cybersecurity workforce. What exactly are you getting at there? What needs to be emphasized other than the fact that DOD should put some funding here?
Well, that's part of the problem, right, is that, you know, we've designated schools as centers of academic excellence, and then we encourage people to go there. But, I mean, you really need a thoughtful process about what's the workforce that I need, and am I getting the people that have the right skills to meet those jobs, and if not, what am I doing to expand the aperture to be able to recruit the right cyber workforce of the future? And so that that could be helped in part by funding the scholarship program so that you could get more people. But it also has to do with focusing your leader attention about what it is I need, because otherwise these programs, you know, they're part of huge organizations. And so they, you know, they sort of chug along. But if you really want to raise the bar on the requirements for cybersecurity, you need that to be a senior leadership conversation.
Well, and the other piece of that as well, if we use the DoD example, it's also building out the capacity. So it isn't, as we're talking about the individuals and doing scholarships and for the individual piece, the leadership has to be focused on how do I sustain this so that I can have that steady stream for recruiting while, and then working on the retention issues, right, or retraining. So you have to have the infrastructure with the institutions. And so if all of these recommendations loop back. So if you want to have a hands-on component, that means that's a certain amount of capacity and infrastructure and capability with the professors, with the school itself, so that they become sustaining infrastructure that you can then send your workforce or people go, and that institution then has the resources that they need to continuously now produce graduates that meet your workforce needs of the future.
And once you produce graduates, you probably want to have an underlying infrastructure so that there's continuing education, especially in
Absolutely.
This business, right?
Absolutely. So that's why this really, you need leadership in order to be able to say, okay, this is my workforce of the future. This is how I want to manage this particular piece, and this is how I'm going to do it in partnership with an existing program that I can leverage, in this case, the CAE.